Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new
way. Oh, you better wake them up, get them up, get them going on a Wednesday on PD. That is right, Turn the Page Wednesday. As we get you up over the hump, drag you there, as we've got a lot to do. Big Trouble in Big D. Cowboys at 2-4, questioning their coaching. We'll dive in there. Sounds familiar. Some issues around here. We'll certainly talk college football as well with the Longhorns. Plenty of baseball. World Series game one last night in Arlington. Good night for the Dodgers. We'll dive in head first there as well. Plenty of national football news, college football, and the rest as we turn the page from what was to what's going to be coming this week in the NFL and in college football. Longhorns looking at Baylor on Saturday at 2:30. We'll begin to drill down on the Bears and what that's all about. It is a 74-degree muggy morning in Austin, Texas. The humidity continues as we get you rolling. Appreciate you being there. Early bird gets the worm. Appreciate you being up early with us. Hope you can ride with us all morning long, all day long, on a busy one on B&E, and the Show of the People is live and local on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Streaming always on your smart speaker, on the Horn app, and at hornfm.com. Mr. Godbolt.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and, of course, those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you for the great job that you do. It is appreciated. Believe me, try not to miss a day that we don't appreciate what you do, for sure. And thank you very much.
You got your golf attire on today.
Yeah, I'm feeling like it today. Maybe if it doesn't rain. But I don't think it is.
It's only to rain? 20,
that's only 20% chance, okay. Which means it's not going to rain.
Not going to rain.
Nah.
Not going to rain out the Texas Cheaters. That is not going to happen.
It doesn't. It never rains when we play golf. It just never rains.
Isn't that weird?
It just gets hot.
How do you pull that off?
I don't know. I can only think of maybe twice that we've had to cancel a round of golf because of rain.
And I know this, when we've done the show with you for a long time. Like, even when it's like 70% chance of rain, you guys still
do fine. Yes.
You guys plow through and it doesn't get rained out. It's like, how did you figure
that
out?
The only thing that rains us out basically is lightning, because I don't play lightning. Yeah, I just
that's
don't.
That's probably wise.
Yeah.
Especially on a wide open golf course.
And I will leave the
with
clubs.
Metal where, clubs in your hand.
Oh, I leave them right where they are. I come back later and pick up the clubs.
Oh, really?
No, I won't. Now, remember I told you at Lost Pines we had two holes to play and we're at the par three, number 17, and the lightning was like right over the top of the hole?
Yeah.
And the guy said, one more to go. And I said, nope.
Nope.
Nope. No, 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 no. It's a par five, the last hole at Lost Pines. And I said, they said, hey, we've gone this far. I'm like, I'm not going down that fairway again in this cart. And by the way, I'm leaving right now, and you can put my clubs on your cart because I'm gone. I refuse to do that. I don't like lightning. Lightning scares me. It may not scare anybody else.
Well, no, I think lightning and thunder.
Thunder boomers.
One of the early fears for most people, right?
As a youngster. I would say so, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's... It's loud.
Besides your dad's belt. Besides your dad's belt,
that's true.
That's the first fear.
That is true.
When he went to taking that belt off.
All right.
Nobody gets the belt anymore. They'll call protective services on you if you pull out the belt now. Well, maybe in some neighborhoods, but
yeah, well,
there's probably that belt still comes out sometimes.
All right.
Well, I think it was horrifying.
It's going to be a busy Wednesday. This is the day where we turn the page. Let's start looking forward to the weekend. Certainly Mondays and Tuesdays, we look back at what was, and now starting to look forward. Longhorns back off their bye week. We've got big stuff in college football, pro football. Let's get to the news, headlines, trending topics. Make sure you're up to speed and in the know as you get up and out on this Wednesday morning. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Start with baseball, game one of the World Series. L.A. Dodgers top Tampa 8-3 last night in Arlington, game one of the Fall Classic. Cody Bellinger broke a scoreless tie in the fourth with a two-run home run, 108 miles an hour off of his bat as he got the scoring started off of Tyler Glasnow. Mookie Betts had a great night, 2-for-4 with a homer himself. Also stole a couple of bags and all back the Metroplex native Clayton Kershaw, who gave up just one run and over six outstanding frames to take the win. Game two tonight, Blake Snell goes for the Rays, the left-hander. It'll be a bullpen game for the Dodgers. They try to get things back to their starting rotation. They're going all bullpen tonight with right-hander Tony Gonsolin expected to get the ball first for Dave Roberts tonight in game number two. Texas football program announced yesterday that the team will wear white throwback, all white throwback uniforms this Saturday when they host Baylor at DKR. It's part of their retro throwback celebration weekend. The specially designed throwback uniforms were unveiled to the players and staff yesterday. It'll mark the first time that the Longhorns have worn their icy white uniforms for a home game since 1950. Normally their road attire, they're going to wear it at home this weekend. Texas, of course, 2-2 on the year, coming off back-to-back losses to TCU and Oklahoma. Plenty of noise surrounding the program. Quarterback Sam Ehlinger says yesterday, it's time to put your nose to the grindstone and keep things rolling.
As a team, you know, we're very close, and we certainly haven't let any frustration or mistakes splinter us in any sort of way. And I think the way to combat that in any way to elite performance in anything that you do is having a positive mindset.
Baylor 1-1, only played two games so far this year. Texas, of course, 2-2, as we mentioned. Game kicks at 2:30 Saturday, 10:30 pregame right here on the Horn on Saturday. The NFL, big trouble in Big D. Dallas Cowboys off to a miserable 2-4 start, and if you've watched them, they're lucky to be 2-4. They had a miracle comeback win over Atlanta, a last-second kick, field goal kick to beat the 1-5 New York Giants. Those are their wins. Now comes word from the NFL Network and Jane Slater. The Cowboys players are starting to let their discontent be known. According to Slater, a player told her anonymously that Mike McCarthy's staff is, quote, totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. They just aren't good at their jobs, end quote. Mike McCarthy, to his part, said his door is always open, and if you want to have a one-on-one conversation man-to-man, he'd love to hear from you, but the Cowboys are a mess. Elsewhere in the NFL, Miami Dolphins 3-3 on the season, coming off back-to-back wins, but they're making a change at quarterback. Rookie Tua Tagovailoa will take over as their starting QB. Miami currently head into their bye week, but Tua Tags will take over with extra preparation when they come back from the bye against the LA Rams on November the 1st.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Very interesting.
Which one?
The Cowboys.
Yeah.
So the old Bobcat Mike is not getting it done? Is that what it is?
Tractor Bob?
Tractor Bob.
Tractor Mike?
Tractor Mike, yeah.
Out of the farm, out of the barn?
Yeah.
Can we sell that barn now? Can we go back to the barn?
Just if you just watch him, it just doesn't look like very much going on there. I mean, we thought Jason Garrett was bad.
Well, I mean, something we talk about here that coaching is teaching is developing, and you know these are professional football players in the NFL, but you still got to coach them, and they look like a very undercoached team, that's for sure. Now there's individual responsibility player to player.
Yep,
they are pros, but at the same time, that's what the coaches are getting paid to do is coach, and you were a coach for a long, long time. This is a team on the defensive side of the ball that was, I think, number 10 or 11 in defense last year. A lot of the same players are back. Some are gone. Mm-hmm. They added some other pieces, but they just look overmatched on defense. You know, they're giving up more points than any team in the league, and it's not just their defense. They turn the ball over at a higher rate than anybody. We've talked about points off turnovers. Cowboys lead the points off of turnovers category in the NFL by 32. Over the next closest team.
Wow.
They've given up over 80 points this year off of turnovers. So their offense is killing their defense. Their defense isn't very good. It was just a debacle on Monday night against the Arizona Cardinals. It could have been worse than 38-10. Think about that. You lost a game 38-10 in which the opposing starting quarterback completed 9 passes.
In the NFL.
In the National Football League. Kyler Murray wins 9 for 24.
Yeah.
And that they scored 38 points because you were
you coughed up
a 4 turnover mess.
Well, yeah, you gave them 2, gave 14 points easy.
And Andy Dalton threw another one right to Jordan Hicks, the former Longhorn. He dropped it right in his hands. There might have been a pick 6, which would have made that number 45. So yeah, I mean, and now you've got players talking, and it just seems like a wholesale mess with a new coaching staff. And you know, the question becomes how much of this is, you know, the new coaching staff's inability to, you know, get with their players during the offseason, the mini camps, all those organized team activities that did not happen, everything virtual, or is this just a bad coaching staff? Is this just, you know,
it's just a bad football team. I mean,
well, that's true too.
If you look at the players, I mean, you and I, it's not like last year's players really changed that much on defense. We, you know, we talked about how bad that's the worst secondary I've ever seen.
Yeah, and they
in professional football.
Well, that goes to, you know, you can go to the coaching staff, then you go to the top. Typically, not even typically, always, with the Cowboys over the last 25 years, it starts and ends with Jerry Jones, right? He hired this staff. He puts this roster together along with Stephen Jones. Those two are the architects of this team. And you're right. They let Byron Jones, their best cornerback, leave to the Miami Dolphins last year in free agency. They have not addressed the safety. you know, when you watch the Cardinals on some Monday night and the kid Buda Baker, the safety, running around making plays all over the place, that was the guy the Cowboys had a chance to draft. The Cowboys have not addressed the safety position year after year after year.
It almost sounds like when we talk about the quarterback position, the backup quarterback position at Dallas.
Well, at least this year they addressed that.
Yes.
For the first time. Yeah, and part of it was that Andy Dalton lives in the Metroplex, and when he came available, Dallas was where he wanted to be.
Right, and he probably got a nice bargain for him.
Yeah, and you brought him in for $3 million, and he's, you know, a good backup, but much bigger issues than just the quarterback. I mean, quarterback's probably their best overall position right now with Dak Prescott and Andy Dalton. But the offensive line has taken just injury after injury. They're a mess. It's not pretty. It's not pretty. And, you know, they're 2-4, and as I say, they're anybody that's watched the Cowboys, you're fortunate to be 2-4. You very well could be 0-6. I mean, you got a last-second field goal win over a bad New York Giants team who doesn't score on anybody, yet against you they scored 34 points. And then, you know, of course, the come-from-behind win over Atlanta, which Atlanta was a big part of allowing that to happen when they were up 20 points, you know, in the fourth quarter.
Just as it seemed like in the NFL, that's one place you can't get away with having a really bad secondary, because everybody tosses it around. They all have ways to hurt your secondary. And if your secondary can't hold up because you can't pass rush, you just get murdered in the NFL.
You know, it's funny about I was reading this and thinking about this when we talk about the National Football League, and I talk about what are the Cowboys going to do to fix their defense. You know, there's not one team in the NFL right now that has a top 10 offense and top 10 defense. Maybe it's just, you know, a short sample size. We're only six weeks into the season. But not one team has a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense. There isn't one. But again, you.
San Francisco had to have that last year, I would think.
They did. San Francisco last year did.
Yeah, they absolutely did.
And by the end of the year, I think it's fair to say the Chiefs did too. I mean, statistically, overall the season, the Chiefs were not a top 10 defense, but last 6 weeks to 2 months of the season, they played to the level of a top 10 defense. And of course, the Super Bowl.
And I believe San Fran E would be the same back this year if they didn't have. They got ridiculous injuries. I mean, when you got 11, 12 starters out, you know, that really start for you, I think San Francisco would be that. You know, if Boza and those guys are playing, I think they'd be right back there,
too. Well, think about this. The Tennessee Titans are second in offense and 27th in defense. The Seattle Seahawks are eighth in offense and last in defense. Mm-hmm. Both of those teams are undefeated. So the only team, the flip side of that are the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 5-0, and they're going to play Tennessee this weekend. That'll be a hell of a game. But the Steelers lead the NFL with 24 sacks. You know, they're on pace right now, the Pittsburgh Steelers, for 77 sacks. That would break the record of the 1984 Chicago Bears.
The Bears, who had 5-1 Bears?
Who had 72 sacks in one season. The Steelers, with T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree and Minkah Fitzpatrick, they're on pace to break that record. Yet, you know, they are top 10, maybe the best defense in the league, but they're 21st in offense. But the efficiency of Ben Roethlisberger, he's got 11 touchdowns, only one pick, quarterback rating of 109. They run the ball with James Conner and Benny Snell. They're sitting there, and you're trying to figure out who the best team is. I guess the point of that with the Cowboys is, you know, you can have a bad defense, and you can still win games in the National Football League if you don't turn the ball over.
Can't have a bad secondary.
Yeah, and you can't just have a bad secondary.
Just can't have a bad secondary.
The Seahawks do. The Seahawks' secondary is terrible.
Yeah, but they get enough pressure on there. They got enough individual players that I think are better. I mean, their defense is better than the Cowboys. You take the Seahawks right now. You just take them. Yes, you would. You take their defense.
You know what? I'm going to be bold and say I think that's fool's gold at this point. I think let's look up at the Seattle Seahawks.
6 weeks from now?
6 weeks from now. They had their bye this week.
You know Russell Wilson's going to win a bunch of games
no matter how bad their defense is. I'm not saying they're going to like fall apart and be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying let's tap the brakes on them big picture. And I would also say the same for Tennessee. You know what's weird about both of those teams? Tennessee has won their first three games of the year. They won on a field goal at the gun. They had to go to overtime to beat a bad Houston team this past weekend. And their most impressive win was a Tuesday night game that they played against Buffalo. The impressive thing about Tennessee is they went 16 days and had like two practices, yet they still came off of that and beat Buffalo, turn around and beat the Texans in overtime.
Because you only play to win the game.
That's impressive.
Field goals, safeties, interceptions.
You can say what you want, but you and I have been around the game enough. People have watched enough football. You don't win Super Bowls with the last-ranked defense in the league. You don't win Super Bowls with the 27th-ranked defense in the league. Eventually, that catches up to you. And that's why I point out that, you know, the Titans have won three games at the buzzer and one in overtime. You know, does that, over the course of a long 16-game, 17-week season...
They can do it if they can control the ball with that big dude running.
So when I look at Seattle, who is 5-0, their wins are over Atlanta, who's 1-5 and has fired their coach. They beat New England, who's 2-3. They beat the Cowboys, who are terrible. They beat the Miami Dolphins, which is probably their most impressive win. Miami's 3-3, and we'll get to them. They're going to Tua. And they beat the Minnesota Vikings, who are 1-5, and they want to fire their coach. So they haven't beaten anybody yet. I mean, they don't have a quality team with a winning record that they've beaten thus far. You know, they're going to play Arizona coming out of their bye week this week. That's a great game with the, let's see what Kyler Murray and Kenyon Drake and the Cardinals can do against that Seattle team. It's in Arizona. That's one of the games of the week this weekend, the late game at 3:05. Then they play San Francisco. Then they play Buffalo. Then they play the Rams. Then they play Arizona again. So this Seattle team that's sitting at 5-0 and Russell Wilson is playing to the MVP level, what are they in 5 weeks when they're about to play five straight winning teams? And three of those are in their own division, plus a road trip to Buffalo.
But I got
to
believe they haven't been like that in the last couple of years defensively. They've just not been a good defensive team. They just can run the ball, and they got good coaching. They've got a staff that's been around a while.
To me, with Seattle, it's a personnel issue, right? They lost Jamal Adams, who they traded for. He's eventually going to come back from a pretty severe groin injury. But they, Jadeveon Clowney walked. They don't have much pass rush. Bobby Wagner's still a good linebacker for them, but that Legion of Boom is long gone. I'm just saying the teams they've played aren't very good. They're scrapping by, and Russell Wilson's winning games in the end. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that continues. I just know.
Just think, there's about three pretty really good solid teams. Three or four superior teams: Kansas City, the Ravens.
Yep, and Pittsburgh.
For me,
those are the three best teams in this league.
And then the rest of them are about the same, because on any given week, those teams can beat each other. They just can.
They can, yeah. And
you got to count Green Bay. They have one loss. I mean, and Green Bay still has to be in there.
But see, that game with.
But don't let that fool you, because that Aaron Rodgers lost twice last year to San Francisco. He couldn't beat San Francisco to save his life, and his body language was the same the other night. But they're going to go on and have a run of four or five games again.
I mean, they're 4-1, the Packers. Yeah. I mean, I'm not dismissing them. I'm just saying that loss on Sunday was so discouraging. It was like last year when they gave in. I mean, Aaron Rodgers got mad.
Oh, they quit. When they lose, they quit.
That's not good. That's not a good sign.
But they don't try to give you the, we're going to come back. They just quit.
No, I mean, Aaron Rodgers got off to a bad start, threw a pick six, started blaming and pointing fingers, and he looked terrible. I mean, they were never competitive in
that
game.
They don't waste their energy for four quarters when they decide to quit.
Yeah. And I don't think that's very good DNA right there.
No.
I'll take Seattle with the worst defense in the league over that, because they'll fight like hell, and Russell Wilson will never give in, it appears. So, yeah, but that's... And then you got the Cowboys, who are trying.
And maybe we should put Tampa in there too.
That's what I was going to say. That let's look. We're 6 weeks in.
Yes.
Right. 6 weeks from now, let's reassess. And I'm not saying don't give Tennessee credit. Don't give Seattle credit. I just think they haven't played the toughest part of their schedule yet. What Tennessee has done to go and win games without any practice is incredible and deserves credit for Mike Vrabel. Plus, he pulled off the real smart coaching move last week when he, took a penalty on purpose to save 40 seconds and beat Houston. But they have a last-second field goal win over Denver, a last-second field goal win over Jacksonville, last-second field goal win over Minnesota, and then they beat Houston in overtime. So, again, I'm just tapping the brakes on 27th-ranked defense, last-ranked defense. Those things catch up to you over a long season, in my opinion. The teams I really like... Pittsburgh, who plays elite defense and has a quarterback that doesn't turn the football over and can run the ball.
And got some nice wide receivers.
A big offensive line. That's a team I'm buying. Kansas City's Kansas City. And now they get Le'Veon Bell. And people forget Le'Veon Bell's only 28 years old.
He doesn't have much wear and tear because they never used him.
He hasn't done anything in the last 2 years.
I know,
with
they
the
haven't
Jet.
Used him. Yes.
And now he's just going to be a complimentary player for them. He's not a workhorse. He's just a guy with the rookie running back and all their weapons. Kansas City is the team to beat. And Baltimore.
Ravens still has to get over the hump in playoffs.
And I'm going to put Baltimore in there. And I'm going to put Tampa Brady in there.
Sure. With, 4-2, yes.
Yes, 4-2 and getting better. Defense improving. I mean, that beatdown of the Packers on Sunday was impressive. As disappointed as the Packers were, the Buccaneers on the other side, that was a really impressive victory.
The moves you make in the NFL are so costly when you make a mistake. Bill O'Brien just screwed the Houston Texans with the moves he made. The David Johnson thing, when I said, I don't believe that guy is still their last in rushing, or 31st in rushing in the league. David Johnson is not that guy, and he I don't know. Is the Hopkins move still a bad move?
Well, yeah. Well,
I mean, it's a bad move.
The financially, they couldn't afford it. It didn't matter. But yes, did they get enough for him? No, I don't think that. I think that's an absolute, unequivocal failure to not get enough. And that goes to the lack of chain of command. They didn't.
Yeah.
Your head coach shouldn't be your play caller, who shouldn't be your general manager. That's ridiculous. Same thing in Dallas, where your owner shouldn't be your general manager and the guy speaking for everything. Jerry Jones, that's been the case for a long time. Houston and Dallas are both an absolute mess. And, you know, it starts at the top with the ownership, Jerry Jones and Cal McNair. If it's going to turn, those guys have to turn it.
Well, we got some interesting stuff coming up because we got Big Ten football coming into play.
I know. Here we go. Turning the page on a Wednesday. We'll start previewing the first weekend of Big Ten football. Who do you think are the top teams in the National Football League? I'm buying Pittsburgh right now. This is also with Kansas City as all in, right? The Chiefs are the team to beat until proven otherwise. But I'm gonna call Tennessee and Seattle at this point. A little bit of fool's gold for me. I think they're good, but I think they're susceptible. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the teams that are on the come that could actually threaten those Kansas City Chiefs. And, of course, Baltimore is there as well. I want to get into the Tua move for the Miami Dolphins with you. Also, the Big Ten coming back in college football. And here it is, Buck. It is a Wednesday. And by my count, the Texas quarterback, Sam Ellinger, has addressed the eyes of Texas situation no fewer than three times this season. Yet the athletic director at Texas has not addressed it a single time. Like, the quarterback, whatever you think of the eyes of Texas debate and Tom Herman's handling of it, the starting quarterback has addressed it with questions from the media on at least three different occasions this year. The athletic director at Texas has not addressed it one time. Is that weird?
It's all weird.
I mean, is that?
They need to go play. As I said, needs to go coach. Sam needs to go play. And they need to win all the games to win a championship. Because if they lose another game to me, they all need to be gone.
Right.
That's how I mean, that's just.
I don't disagree with you, but we can't ignore the fact that that's a big story and a big situation around the Longhorn fan base. Yet the athletics director, the director of athletics, has not taken questions on the record.
He doesn't control the football team, the football program.
But he controls the athletic department.
I guess he does, yeah.
I'm just pointing out an observation that's very odd, that they put a 22-year-old kid out there to answer questions from the media over and over again, and the director of athletics is not available to address that situation.
Well,
shouldn't he be the one addressing it?
Well, doesn't he have a Tuesday or Wednesday newsletter or something?
It came out yesterday.
Oh, it did?
Okay. Didn't say anything. I'm just talking about not just addressing, but actually answering questions from assembled media about those stories that they want to ask. Sam's available every Tuesday.
Somebody has sense, I guess.
I don't think that makes sense. I think that the one person you probably want to hear about and from about it has not addressed it in 6 weeks.
He has a newsletter that he prints out. He has his own little chronicle or whatever they do. That's the way people do business now. They don't face anything. They just
I'm pointing out, that your student athletes are facing it and talking about it, being asked about it. Where's the director of athletics on it?
Well, guess who's in control over there? The student athlete.
We'll come back.
Student athlete? Really?
Odd to me. We'll be back. We will continue these conversations as we turn the page Wednesday. I'll start previewing the week that was. World Series Game 1 goes to the Dodgers. They needed it last night. We'll explain why coming up. Also, all the moves of pro football, college football, Cowboys on fire, Texans even worse. Not pretty in the pro landscape of the NFL and the Lone Star State. We have a lot to do. We're just getting warmed up. Table set on BNE 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
This Sunday, the Dallas Cowboys BNE.
Show the people, BNE with you on a Wednesday. Turning the page, over the hump, however you want to put it. Longhorns facing Baylor Saturday. UT announced yesterday the Longhorns will wear the icy white, all-white uniforms, meaning white jersey tops, very sharp-looking throwback unis, very clean.
Sweatbands?
I don't know about the sweatbands. I'm just talking about the uniforms.
They have bands.
First time since 1950, the year you were born. No, you were 55. My parents were 50.
Yeah.
You're 55.
55.
My parents were both 50.
We go way back.
Parents were both 50, born in 1950. My mom, 51. But first time since a Purdue game in September of 1950. that the Longhorns will wear the all-whites at home as part of a throwback celebration weekend.
It's a game that they really, really need against Baylor. It's a game that Baylor needs because
Baylor and play.
They need to play football, I guess, at Baylor. And I don't know what they're doing down there, but this is an opportunity for Dave Aranda to continue what was going on there last year. This was a tough physical football team last year. Charlie Brewer's back, so they'll be in the game. We know that. But this is an opportunity for Texas to right some of the things that Tom Herman talks about, the improvement of the team, which I don't see. I just don't see where the improvement is. I mean, is this his program or is this not his program? There's way too many excuses. Which position on his football team has really improved in order to get to a championship game and possibly win a championship game? So far, actually, none of the positions have really, really done that. What have they done in the third quarter? What's going to happen in third quarter games? Have they addressed that? Will they address their third quarter woes when they come out of the locker room? Those are important things in order to win a game against Baylor.
Right, who we haven't seen much of this year.
No.
They've got a win over Kansas and a loss to West Virginia in two overtimes.
Yeah.
That's their two games this year.
Yeah, I'm wondering if this team will do stuff like misdirections. Are they scared with their offensive line to do misdirection plays because they don't want to have guys that are pulling and
this,
stuff
though.
Like that?
Because you're being fair with your specifics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you, though, what have you seen through the first month of the year that would indicate that we should even talk about them in discussion of a championship? Like, they have no...
They have good players. I still believe.
Do they?
I think they have good players.
I don't know.
I think they're...
They're 1-2 in conference play.
Yeah.
Two wins... I mean, they've lost, and we've gone through the records of the teams they've played. The teams they've played aren't very good. TCU's not very good. Texas Tech's bad. They've just benched their quarterback. I don't know. I can't even conceptualize Texas and playing for a championship right now.
I still believe it's a bad league. I still believe
you could argue the biggest game of the college football weekend, certainly of the Big 12 weekend, will kick off at the same time as Texas and Baylor at 2:30. But it's in Stillwater where Iowa State plays Oklahoma
yes,
State. That's
correct.
A huge game.
Yes.
Both of those teams have championship aspirations rightfully. They're both undefeated in conference play. Iowa State stumbled early, lost that early game to Louisiana Lafayette. Kind of a wake-up call for
they've gotten better.
They've gotten better.
Because I saw that defense, and I thought they were a bunch of pudgy guys that
right.
didn't get off of blocks in game one. But that was game one. And then, they still struggled a little bit the next game, but now they've found their way. They know what their identity is. It's tough-nosed defense, and it's downhill running with that nice running back
and
a good quarterback.
And if you were voting for Big 12 Player of the Year in October, it would be Breece Hall, the running back.
Yes.
He leads the Big 12 in rushing. He's the leading touchdown scorer in the Big 12. They run the football. Brock Purdy's an efficient quarterback who some thinks an NFL player. I don't see that, but he's a good player.
Yes.
So that's the championship-level game in the Big 12. Texas is
– Oklahoma State has talent.
Yes.
And a defense.
Well, they're number six in the country.
And they have a defense.
And, 10 of 11 starters back on defense, and they're playing
right.
defense at a high level. Anybody has followed Mike Gundy's career in years when they have good defense, they're a contender because
yes.
they're going to score. He'll figure out the offensive part, and they have good pieces offensively. When you're talking about Tylan Wallace at receiver and Chuba Hubbard at running back.
But what I'm trying to do is I am trying to turn the page on Wednesday and try to figure out what are the things that Texas can do. Will they do it? Will Tom Herman implement it? I don't know if he'll implement it.
I guess all I'm saying, you got to crawl before you can walk. You got to walk before you can run.
They could go and lose all the rest of the games.
Very well, of course they could. They've lost to the three teams they've played would be winless in Big 12 play without playing Texas. That's where Texas is an also-ran.
Well, here I am right now. I don't want them to lose to Baylor. I don't want them
but
to lose.
But they can.
Well, yeah, they can lose to anybody. But what have they done besides worry about the eyes of Texas right now and have – your quarterback talking about it, what have they done on the football field is going to indicate they've got to do some things. They can't go in doing the same things that they've done. They can't go in with just running read options and not running counter plays and not running misdirections and not finding a running back that can get 80 yards in a game, much less a 100-yard rusher. They have to do those things. And you can't keep waiting for guys to get in football games. You can't wait for the freshman because the running back coach is too afraid to play the freshman or he's hurt. Or this guy's hurt, or one guy's going to fumble. They can't, the basic parts of coaching, they can't figure out. It's really kind of basic. If you want a running back to get in there, he has to go more than series in, series out, series in. Those are kind of the basic things. But Tom Herman seems to have made promises to people and things like that. But I think they have talented enough players.
Oh, well, yeah, I don't think we've been through the talent. I mean, the talent recruiting-wise and who they bring into this program.
Right.
But I'm through being disappointed. I'm going to expect them to be sloppy. I'm going to expect them to not have a 100-yard rusher. I'm going to expect them to not have a good running game. Dave Aranda's a good defensive coach. They've got good defensive personnel.
They lose a lot of guys on that defense last year that went to the NFL. A lot of guys are gone from there. The wide receivers, big-time wide receiver.
From Round Rock, their best pass rusher. But Texas is not a hard team to stop right now. You put some kibosh on Sam Ellinger.
I'm slapping my own head because it's Baylor, Bucky. It's Baylor. I keep thinking, it's just Baylor.
Who played in the Big 12 title game a year ago.
Yeah, that was last year, and they lost a lot.
I don't have a lot of samples. I did watch them play West Virginia, and it was not impressive. Their offense really struggled to move the ball and put the ball in the end zone, and then they lost a game to West Virginia. They're not very good, but
Tom Herman controls this thing. This is all on the head coach. And once again, if they lose one more game to me, later with that guy.
Going to lose one. I guess that's my thing. They're going to lose another game.
But we got to wait till they play the game.
Sure.
We got to wait till they play the games. In my mind, if he loses another game and he doesn't get to the championship, they need another coach. But what if they what if something gets straightened out that things kind of click for them? They're good enough because this league is bad enough. Do you know what I mean? It's bad. It's just bad enough that you can win. But do I expect them to win every game? No.
I expect them to beat Baylor on Saturday. But I expect it to be sloppy. I expect Sam Ellinger to have to make a lot of plays. I expect them to be better. This is a good matchup for the Texas defense. If indeed, with a week off, you know, coming off the Oklahoma game, where
they think they won the game, where they actually feel like they won.
They improved. Yet they allowed 8 yards of carry to a fifth-string running back, and a quarterback got benched and came back in and beat them in overtime game. Again, that's back-to-back games, Texas, TCU, and Oklahoma, that Texas had no business losing. Yet they lost. So for me to expect them to be all of a sudden buttoned up and clean and all that is probably – that's me setting myself up for frustration. I think that's where I am if you're a fan.
Yeah.
You're setting yourself up for frustration if you expect this dominant performance from Texas.
And once again, they have to play these games. Remember,
I understand that.
They got to play the rest of these football games, and they can't go into the rest of these football games thinking that, you know, they've got to be positive on the fact that they do have good players. And once again, it's another 2 weeks for the coaches who are, as Tom Herman says, are new. It's COVID. It's all of these excuses that they use, but they've had another week. Maybe something within that football team will click because they are talented enough. I think they're going to struggle. They've got to do something with the wide receivers. You've got a quarterback that can fling it. You've got a quarterback that can do a lot of things during the course of the first quarter. It's the crazy woes, like third quarter. How come you haven't figured that out? They talk about little things that they're going to do. We'll do some different things. Okay. We got to see that.
Yeah.
Because if it comes back once again in the third quarter, they're lousy and they don't score any points again, we know what to expect. A fourth quarter shootout. But it's Baylor. I hate Baylor. You got to be able to beat Baylor.
Oh, there we go.
I just hate Baylor.
Back to your recruiting days.
I just hate them. You can't. I mean,
Reedy.
I used to run around with a bear stuffed
in
the front of my pants during Baylor week all week long, like a little teddy bear stuffed with the head of the bear sticking out. You can't lose to Baylor 2 years in a row. They're Baylor. They can't get through the COVID thing because they got some weird thing going on. They've only played. Is this the third game or the second game?
They've played two games.
Dude, you got to be able to beat them.
Well, they're a 10.5-point favorite. But they were a 10.5-point favorite over TCU, who's not very good, and they lost to them.
They should have been favorites in every game they played so far this year.
Well, they have been, except for Oklahoma, right? And we couldn't figure out why they
were. Oh, that's coaching. But that's just coaching.
100%. Well, the same coaches are coaching. I mean, they were double-digit favorite over TCU. TCU came in, played a C-minus game, committed 12 turnovers.
Remember, Dave Aranda, first head coach gig.
Look, you hate Baylor. I get it. I'm pointing out that they were a double-digit favorite over TCU. TCU came in here and played a C-minus game with 12 penalties and turnovers, and they still beat Texas. So
Okay,
reality check.
My Wednesday coaching thing is kicked in. I'm going to be positive. This is over the hump. This team has to win. All the stuff with the eyes of Texas. I'm looking for the football team to win a football game because the players, if they've worked hard enough and they've got these things right, they deserve to go out there, give them that best shot and win a football game. I'm not worried about the head coach. To me, the head coach is a joke. If that dude loses another game, goodbye. There shouldn't be – if he doesn't play for a championship or win for a championship, it doesn't work. It's not about the eyes of Texas. It's about can the dude coach? No. We'll figure out the other stuff. Can he coach?
I think that's become evident.
I don't know yet.
You don't know. What do you – we got 44 games.
Okay, but then why haven't they fired his ass then? If he's not, if he can't coach, why is he still here today?
Fair question. Game of the week in the Big 12, Iowa State, Oklahoma State. That's 2:30 kick.
Maybe it's just
Saturday.
Hard to win.
It is hard to win. Winning is hard.
Winning is hard.
Also, this. How about this? Another game of the week in college football. Cincinnati and SMU. Biggest game in the state of Texas this weekend is SMU at 5-0 playing Cincinnati.
It's Baylor, Texas week, and I'm thinking about Cincinnati and SMU.
Come on,
Shane Bouchel. How about that, Texas fans? Well, here are the big games of the week.
That's the biggest game of the week in college football in the state of Texas.
Come on, man!
It is!
It is not! It is, isn't it? Really?
One's 5-0 and ranked 18th. One's undefeated and ranked 11th. They meet in Dallas.
You know I like that coach, Fickell.
I know you like Luke Fickell.
I like Luke Fickell. He can recruit. He can recruit.
He can recruit.
He can get after it.
He can recruit.
And his kids are hard.
Yeah.
They're not marshmallowy.
The weekend, man.
They're not puffy and mushy.
Plus the Big Ten comes back. Best Big Ten matchup, 20th ranked Michigan against 25th ranked Minnesota. P.J. Fleck and row the boat against Jim Harbaugh. Nebraska hosts Ohio State in the Big Ten. Oh, yeah.
Was Nebraska going to take a slap down? I got to think Ohio State can't wait to get all that talking from Nebraska. This could be a real big time slapdown.
Well, I think you could argue that Ohio State should be thanking Nebraska for the lawsuits, and they pitched the biggest fit when the Big Ten canceled the season, and that's one of the main reasons they're back. Was Nebraska, you know, parents and people filing lawsuits, which forced the Big Ten's hand what's going on and why aren't we playing? That forced this thing back into the conversation, and here they are playing Nebraska and Ohio State. But that's part of a Saturday. That's the 11 o'clock kick.
Yeah.
From Columbus on Saturday.
Well, yes, I bet you those kids can't wait to play.
All right.
And I would think the Longhorns can't wait to play. 2 weeks after you lost to Oklahoma, that should be the theme is you lost to Oklahoma and you got to stew in this crap for 2 weeks.
TC, they've lost two games.
I forgot that other one.
And if not for a miracle against Tech, we'd be talking about three straight losses. And that was a miracle.
They got to play the games. They got to play the remainder of the game.
Okay. We'll be back. Just don't use the word championship in the same sentence with the Longhorns again. Ever. Please, stop. We'll get to your B&E.
Really?
What are you seeing that I'm not? I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, the game in Stillwater has championship implications. It matters with Iowa State and Oklahoma
State. But so did this.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't?
Those aren't championship contenders, neither of them.
What if they win?
Well, maybe Baylor is because we haven't seen them play and they were in it last year.
Damn.
Sorry. Just being trying to, whatever.
I thought you were trying to get over the hump. This isn't getting over the hump.
Oh.
It's Wednesday. This is game week. They are playing the game on Saturday.
Yes, they are.
It's Wednesday.
I'm just expecting to be disappointed and frustrated. That's kind of where you are with this group.
You can't go into that game like that. It's Baylor.
We'll be back. When we do,
Dr. Pepper drinkers.
We'll get your B&E fact of the day. We'll get into this Cowboys situation. Speaking of messes and dumpster fires, Jane Slater reporting that Cowboys not real happy with their new coaching staff. We'll let you hear from Jane and diagnose the Cowboys as a dumpster fire in their own right for sure. First, though, Craigway.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&A with you on a Wednesday.
Big weekend coming up.
I don't get the people on the text line yelling at me because I'm being negative. I'm being realistic. Can I work this backwards with you?
Listen.
Work this backwards?
Can Tom Herman quit giving us the rigmarole? Quit being a high school guidance counselor? I mean, isn't this last year where he got fired up and started headbutting dudes?
And how'd that go?
It didn't go well
against Matt Rhule's defense, have they?
Right. No, maybe he's going to do something like that again. Maybe he's going to fire up the guys. Maybe he's going to, you know. You know, headbutt them, do that soccer thing with helmets, you know. Come on, man.
Maybe I'll win the lottery, too, this week, even though I never played the lottery. Maybe I'll win that.
It's Baylor. You can't lose to Baylor 2 years in a row.
Again, just answer the question.
Okay.
If Baylor had not stopped playing, Texas Tech had not stopped playing in the last 3 minutes of the football game, would Texas have won that game?
No, but that's their fault. That's not Texas' fault.
Fair enough.
That's their fault. Can't blame that on the Horns. They kept playing. They didn't give in.
Correct.
In that game.
But Tech stopped the bus, or started the bus, and allowed the window. And Texas got an onside kick and made a lot happen.
That's on their coach.
But the point is that this should be an 0-3 team in the Big 12. 0-3 against...
You are what your record says.
Understood.
Right?
But I know what they are. They're 1-2. And the teams that they've played are combined 2-7 in the Big 12. Don't know what anyone is saying if you're still using the word championship in and around.
Still in it. You've got to play every one of the teams that's in the battle, correct?
Correct.
You got to play those teams.
Say the same for Baylor. They're still in it.
They are. I mean, you're going to Baylor's coming here. You're not going to lose that game at home against Baylor.
Well,
that 11 points is not enough points. Go. They're going to be all over Baylor this weekend.
Hey, they've had a great week of practice. Sunday was awesome.
Don't even say that about Sunday. I don't know what they did.
Ass on Sunday.
No, they were trying to figure out who the AD was and all that other stuff. But when you actually have to get out there and play the game, when the coach has to coach the game, all the other issues aside, you have enough talented players to beat Baylor.
I think so. I
do. You really do have enough talented players.
They had enough talented players to beat TCU and Oklahoma.
Didn't work out.
And not be down 21 points to Texas Tech.
They got a moral victory against
Oklahoma.
You realize
Texas Tech is 0-3, correct? And they had you down 21 points with
That's in the past,
six
man.
Minutes to play.
This team, maybe this
not a good team. Benching their quarterback.
Maybe this team has grown and got a little bit tougher as the 2 weeks have gone by.
We'll hear from Sam Allinger coming up on with the focus of the team, where they are, is the Eyes of Texas debate a distraction. Also, we will hear from Jane Slater, her report on the ugly report out of the Cowboys locker room. We'll get into that situation as well. And last night we had game one of the World Series. It goes to the Dodgers. Do you know that, as we get up to your BNE fact of the day, 20 of the last 25 World Series champions have won game one of the World Series. Dodgers took game one last night, which is important, usually leads to good things, and they look good doing it, by the way, 8-3 the final. We also have this, that Tua Tagovailoa has been named the starting quarterback of the Miami Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it won't be this week, and something, I was listening to all this conversation about this yesterday, and look, here's the debate. The Dolphins are 3-3. They've won back-to-back games. Ryan Fitzpatrick is the 7th-rated quarterback in this league. He's playing good.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like this was kind of the strategy of the Dolphins all year, that when we get to our bye week, Two is going in. If we're 0-6 or 6-0.
And it sounds like Fitz knows that.
Yeah, they've been clear with him, it seems like, because there's no surprise here, which means it indicates to me that behind the scenes, Brian Flores and the Dolphins had this as their plan. They're going to make
they've made this an organization
and been clear
decision,
with people
yes.
on how this is going to go. When we get to our bye week, that's when we're going with the quarterback. We have an extra week. We know our personnel better than we would have at the start of the season without a training camp.
And I don't think it's a locker room issue. I think Fitz knows exactly what he's doing.
Agreed.
I think the players know exactly. It's time to get the young guy in. I'm really surprised they hadn't done it sooner. But the Miami Dolphins are right in the thick of things. The Patriots, they're going to be looking at them from behind.
Organizationally, it's a very smart move because there's no controversy here. This has been made clear that this is how this is going to go, and here they are. Now that you have a bye week, then you can have a home game.
Now, this can be a media-driven controversy. They can make it into one
but in
the Miami market or any other market.
Yeah, but if the locker room was aware and everyone's on the same page, there won't be a controversy. This was the plan. We drafted the guy to be our future of our quarterback. We all understood Ryan Fitzpatrick's a stopgap player and helping to mentor the young quarterback.
And playing well.
That's a franchise that hadn't had a franchise quarterback since Dan Marino. This guy is seen as the new face of the franchise.
Yep.
This is smart. And he'll start his first game. You know, when he starts the game a week from Sunday against the LA Rams, Jared Goff,
it's a good game. That'll be a good game.
It'll be his first game more than a year. Remember, his last game he started was way back in November for Alabama against Mississippi State when he got hurt.
And he fell and did not fall properly. Remember that?
Yeah. We'll see. I think that's a pretty smart move by Miami to handle it the way they're handling it. We'll talk more about that in South Florida. Let's get to your B&E Fact of the Day.
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
Cody Bellinger and Mookie Betts both went deep last night in the World Series Game 1. They're the fifth pair of former MVP winners on the same team to hit home run in the same World Series game. Both have won MVPs. Bellinger, of course, Mookie Betts in the American League. Now teammates both hit home runs. When was the last time a pair of MVPs on the same team hit a home run in a World Series game? Got to go back a little bit. Not too long. We'll see if you can get that answer. That will be the fact of the day coming up, B&E on the Horn.